Our theme for camp, which starts tomorrow, it's been a lot of prayer, seeking the Lord's will for that. And I don't know, probably about 6-7 months ago, the Lord gave me peace on the theme that we have, which is that I may know Him. That I may know Him. And it's found here in Philippians chapter 3. If you're able to, let's stand and we'll read our text tonight. Then we'll pray and be seated. And I like to introduce our week of camp, preaching on this Sunday night about how the Lord has led us. So Philippians chapter 3, verse number 1. It says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the circumcision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the same spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray that, Lord, You just please take the reading of Your Word and bless it. May Your Word be lifted high tonight. Pray that You would erase all of my thoughts and my own things, and Lord, that You would be in charge tonight. I yield myself to You. Lord, I pray that, Lord, You bless this time as we look at Your Word tonight. Teach us something tonight. Help us tonight. Instruct us. Lay down some foundation for this week. God, I pray that we all would learn and grow from this passage, and we love You, God. In Your name I pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. In verse number 10, Paul said again, that I may know Him. It's my prayer, and I ask everyone to pray, whether you're able to come to camp at all or not. Pray that this week would be a time of great spiritual awakening in our young people and in our workers. A time for all of us that we might get to know Him better. In our text, Paul shares this in verse number 10. It's his goal, his desire. Paul said that I may know Him. Now, Paul's already saved. I mean, he even gives us testimony in this passage of Scripture, what we read. Paul is a believer, not his prayer that he might get saved. Again, he's already shared what he did and how he used to live, but how that all changed when he met the Lord. But here is an apostle, the great Paul. Apart from the Lord, probably the greatest missionary that's ever been on this earth, who said, I want to know Him. I want to know Him. It was one of his goals in life, one of the motivations in his walk, that he might know Him. Again, I think most of us, probably every one of us in this auditorium, we know God. We know who He is. I'm not saying we're not saved, and believe most everybody in this room professes the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. So when I ask this next question, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm simply saying what Paul said. How well do you know Him? I mean, do you really know God the way God wants you to know Him? Because God wants you to know Him. God wants us to have this deeper, intimate walk with Him. And yeah, we'll talk about this week devotions and a prayer life, and that is some, but that's not exactly what Paul was talking about. You understand this, that once you're saved, you're always saved. Amen. God just wants to grow in His relationship with us day by day. He already knows all about us. Which makes the next statement so much more amazing, that he wants us to know him more and more and more. That he wants to have a relationship with us, knowing that he knows us like he does. So Paul breaks this down. How can we know him greater? How can we? Again, everybody knows who God is. I think everybody probably that is of age would stand up today in this auditorium and profess they know the Lord Jesus Christ. They know God. They have a relationship with him. Probably, I would think the majority of us tonight would say that we read our Bible and we pray. Probably on a daily schedule, in a daily way. But Paul did too. Paul was saved. Paul heard from God. Paul spoke the word of God. I mean, in no way I don't think any of us would stand up today and say, I'm pretty sure I'm on the same spiritual level as Paul. I don't think any of us would say that. Yet Paul said, I want to know him. I want to know him. And that only comes in three ways. Now I want us to, we'll kind of jump back and then we'll work our way back into this, but I want you to see, first of all, number one, a position to enjoy. A position to enjoy. In verse number 9, he said this, and be found in him. To be found in him. He rejoiced. Now, this is not something he wanted. This is something he was rejoicing in. He says in verse number 8, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and who count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. That's where he is. All of his old life, which we'll talk about in just a second, he said, that is behind me. I let all of that go. It's all garbage. It is all waste. I am just glad that I know Jesus Christ and I am found in him. That is something that God wants all of us to enjoy. A position to enjoy that we are God's child. When it comes to salvation, that is a position to be enjoyed. Salvation is a matter of position. Look with me real quick. We'll come right back here, so we always keep something here. But look in Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 12. Ephesians 2 and verse number 12. You had to be a sword drill champion to keep up Brother Robert this morning, man. He was moving, wasn't he? All right, a couple times I had to look at Hope's Bible because she beat me. All right, but Ephesians chapter number 2 and in verse number 12, Ephesians 2 and verse number 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's the way we all were born. 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We used to be strangers. We used to be apart from Christ. But now, when we get saved, we are now in Christ Jesus. Amen? The Bible says in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus. If you're saved tonight, you are positioned in Christ Jesus. That is a great position to enjoy. To be in Christ Jesus. You say, what is that talking about? Turn over to Colossians in chapter number 3. Colossians chapter 3 and in verse number 1. Colossians chapter 3 and in verse number 1. The secret to being in Christ. I believe you can see a big part of this here. It really isn't a secret. I guess just the understanding would probably be a better word. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Understand this tonight, that every one of us were born sinners. You can all amen that. It's the truth. We're all born sinners, and God, because he's just, cannot just overlook our sin. He can't just give us a pat on the back and say, well, don't worry about it. He's a just God. Our sins had to be paid for. And thank God that he loved us so much and Jesus came to this world. And when Jesus, the only one who could do this, died for our sins, he paid for our sins in full. That's why when he died upon the cross, he said, "It is finished." He wasn't talking about his life because his life still continues to this day and always will. He's an eternal God. When he said it is finished, the penalty, the payment for our sin was paid in full. And when we believe this, when we make a decision in our life to trust Jesus Christ, we know that he died for our sins, that we're a sinner, and we say, "Yes, I believe this." We are placed in Christ. Our life is hid in Christ. Now, why is that so important? Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Back a few pages, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and in verse number 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and in verse number 21. It says this, talking about God and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin." Now, who's that talking about? That's Jesus. "That we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Do you know when a holy God now looks upon us, he does not see the sinners that we are. Our life is hid in Christ. He only sees his son's righteousness. Turn back over to the right, Ephesians chapter number 2 and in verse number 13. Ephesians 2 and in verse number 13. Ephesians 2 and verse number 13. Again says this, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." That's a great place to be. A great place to be in Christ. Hidden in Christ. So why? What does in Christ all have to be? It shows that we are hidden by his righteousness. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. "If any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Turn over there real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Everybody pretty much knows verse number 17. "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." If you be in Christ, well, what exactly is that speaking of? Go back to verse number 15. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 15. "And that he died for all." Who's the he? Jesus. "That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Verse number 18, right after that verse. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Notice verse number 19. Now again, if any man be in Christ, notice in verse number 19, "to wit, that God was" what? God, verse number 19, "to wit, that God was" what? God was in Christ. God was in Christ. We're in Christ. In other words, this is going to be a silly illustration, all right? You're probably going to chuckle at this, all right? But I'll do my best here, all right? Titus, why don't you come up here real quick? Is Titus in here? Titus, come on up here, buddy, all right? You don't care to help me out. He helps me out on a bus. Him and Asa, they're great bus workers, by the way. They do a great job. Hold my signs, sing. You ain't never heard no one sing until you hear Titus sing on a bus, man, all right? I'm going to do something silly with you, all right? But just, we're good, all right? All right, here we go. The day that, well, again, as for illustration's sake, I'll be a picture of Christ. Christ died on the cross for us. How do we receive Christ? By believing on the Lord Jesus. what happens when we believe we're placed in Christ? We'll say that Brother Davis is a holy God. That's a sinner. The day he got saved, he was placed in Christ. What do you see? You see Christ. Where is Titus? He's hidden. He's hid in Christ. He's hid in Christ. When a holy God sees me, he doesn't see me for what I am. I'm hidden in Christ. What a wonderful thing. By the way, the Bible says that God was in Christ. Amen? Which means this, again, you know where I met the Lord? You know where I got right with God? Reconciliation was made. We just read it at the cross. And this is silly. But somewhere in here was God, me and God reconciled together in Christ. When you got saved, you were hid in Christ. You no longer have that death condemnation upon you. Now, Titus is still a sinner, right? There he is. Matter of fact, he's like, it stinks in here, probably. All right, yeah, all right. But you don't see him. God doesn't see Travis Burke, the sinner. Holy God sees a life that is hid in his Son. When the accuser may accuse me, and he does, the Lord says, not him. His life is hid in me. Amen. And when we get saved, thanks, man, that went too bad, right? When we get saved, we're hid in Christ. It's not something that we can attain. It's not something we have to go do. It's not something that we accomplish or come to in our life. It's something that God does. He's in Christ. And we are hid in Christ. And we're reconciled to the Lord. And back in our text, if you want to turn back there, he said, again in verse number 9, to be found in him. What a wonderful thing to be found in Christ. I hope that you grasp that tonight, because that's something you all ought to be able to rejoice in with me tonight. That I am no longer a stranger. I am no longer living my life and under condemnation. I am no longer living my life with the guilt of my sin upon my back. I am hid in Christ. To be found in Christ is to be set free from all of these things. And again, we said in discipleship class earlier this afternoon that anything that God wants for us, the devil doesn't want us to enjoy. So God, I said in Sunday school this morning, God removed all of our guilt. So the devil says, well, I'm going to try to make him feel guilty. God has done so many things for us and the devil doesn't want us to enjoy it. But yet to be found in him, to be saved is to be found in him. Now before I got saved, I was lost. So were you. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Well, let's answer. Where can you find me? Hidden in Christ. Devil can't get me. Devil can't accuse me. I'm found. I'm in Christ. And to be in Christ is something for all of us to enjoy. You ever heard somebody say, well, I know Christians that their life is just terrible, right? Again, salvation is just a position to enjoy. To know that I'm in Christ, to enjoy my salvation. You know, it's like one time, again, I don't agree with this doctrine, right? But R.A. Torrey was asked one time, you know, this guy came up to him being a smart aleck and said, you know, this so-and-so person in this church right here, he says he's a Christian, but he's a wicked person. Do you think he's still going to heaven? I know some things he did wrong. He said, if he's asked the Lord Jesus to save him, he's going to heaven. He said, well, I don't understand that. And he said, well, let me give you an illustration. This is what he did. I thought it was pretty good. He got out a map, and he laid it out there. Brother Roberts ain't here tonight, otherwise he'd amen this, all right? But he said, here's the state of Colorado. He said, it is, this is the part we can all amen because he's not here. This represents sinful, wicked man. Oh, yeah, all right? The state of Colorado. He said, over here next to us, the state of Kansas, which represents saved man. Which, if you've ever been through Kansas, there's nothing about that. Hey, Kansas, next to Nebraska, is the most boring state I've ever been in my life. But anyways, he said, but it represents the state of being saved. Colorado represents the state of being unregenerated. Kansas, next to it, the state of regeneration. He said, now listen to me, sir. He said, there are some people here in Colorado that are down deep in the mines, dark. There are some people living there at sea level, and there are some people living on the highest top of those mountains, but they're still in the wrong state. Over here, there's some people that are again falling flat on their face in Kansas. There are some on the hills and some on the tall mountains, but they're in the right state. And he looked at him and said, sir, what matters is what state you're in. Are you in Christ? To be saved, again, I know Christians too that have fallen on their face. And I know lost people that live sometimes a more moral life than some Christians I know. The one in Christ is going to heaven. The one that's not believed in Christ is not going to heaven. For us that are saved, we ought to live, and we're going to talk about that tonight, a godly life. To be in Christ, we ought to be a new creature. We ought to live that way. We ought to walk with the Lord. We ought to talk with the Lord. We ought to enjoy the relationship that God has for us. But you see, a position to enjoy. But then Paul says in verse number 9, a possession to enjoy. I'll not take long here. It says here, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. I've kind of already preached on it, so I don't have to. In verses 1 down to verse number 6 or so, Paul talked about how he had to disregard his false righteousness. If anybody knew how to follow the law, it was Paul. Paul gives his credentials here in this passage of Scripture that he acted pretty good. But he had said no to the Lord. I like how Romans 7 puts it. Glance over there with me real quick in Romans chapter number 7. Look in Romans chapter number 7 and verse number 7. Romans 7 and verse number 7. It says what? Romans 7, verse number 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Now you'll notice there in verse number 7, it says, what shall I say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law has said, thou shalt not covet. Now, anybody know what commandment, thou shalt not covet, is? In order. 10. I kind of think Paul's alluding here that I had no other gods before me. I didn't take the name of the Lord in vain. He's like that rich young ruler who said, yeah. But Paul said there came one of those laws that said, thou shalt not covet, and I realized I'm guilty, and all of my righteousness had a big old gash cut right in the middle of it. I wasn't perfect. I was guilty. And all of our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. And Paul said, I had to disregard my false righteousness, and when I discovered his flawless righteousness. Back in our text in Philippians in chapter 3 and verse number 9, it says, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He said, when I had faith, when I simply believed that Jesus is who he said that he is, I got his righteousness. I've already preached on it. I don't have to keep doing that. But the fact is this, he rejoiced. He tried his best to keep the law, but guess what? We all fall short. Paul said, I did too. I was a pretty good person till I came to that commandment, thou shalt not covet, and I found out I'm not innocent. I'm guilty. But praise the Lord, He who is perfect died for my sins. And the day that I believed on Him, I received His righteousness. Understand this statement that I'm making. He once gave His life for us. Now He gives His life to us. He wants us to live this life. He wants us to live our life not in our own righteousness, but in His righteousness. I am in Christ. I have His righteousness. Doesn't mean that I'm perfect, but it means I'm without excuse. I have the authority to overcome sin. I have the power to overcome sin. I have the means to escape every trespass and every temptation that ever's brought my way. The Christian life is all about us becoming what we already are in Christ Jesus. I'll let you stop and think about that statement. The Christian life is about us becoming what we already are in Christ Jesus. You understand, I'm already hidden in Christ. I already have His righteousness, 2 Corinthians, amen? I already, Ephesians, am seated in heavenly places. I am forgiven, I'm justified, but this life is all about, that's why the word predestined is used in these epistles. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. We are in this life just becoming what we already have been made in Christ. So Paul said here, I have a position to be enjoyed. I have a possession to be enjoyed, His righteousness. Which brings me to this, a potential to enjoy. Verse number 10, he said this, knowing that I am in Christ, knowing that I have His righteousness. Verse 10, that I may know Him. Now again, Paul is already saved. Do y'all see that? When he said, I may know Him, he's not talking about salvation. He was already rejoicing what Christ has done for him. But he said, I just want to know Him. If I have one desire for this week at camp, it is that I, every adult, every teenager, and these children, something will spark inside of them that they will just want to know Him more. That I may know Him. Paul said, here's how it's done. Look at the text with me and we'll close. Here's how it's done. Number one, through Christ's resurrection power. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Now that's not just talking about a future event that is yet to come. Now there is. The rapture could take place tonight. I think there's quite a few of us in here that would say, even so, come quickly, Lord. That could happen tonight, and there will be a great resurrection at that time. But that's not what Paul's talking about. He's not looking forward to just a day that's going to happen, that I may know Him, that I might know Him by the power of His resurrection. You understand this, that when Christ died on the cross, He canceled the penalty of sin. Now, they stay with me. I know we're getting a little deep, right? When Christ died on the cross, He canceled the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is what? Christ died on the cross, it canceled that penalty. But He didn't stay dead. He resurrected. When He died on the cross, He canceled the penalty of sin, but when He rose again, He canceled the power of sin. Death did not reign anymore. The power of sin could no longer be claimed. The Lord Jesus has that. That's why, remember, He was teaching that when He approached Martha, came out to Him and said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. With compassion, He looked at Martha and said, I am the resurrection and life. And she said, I know that one day my brother will live again. No, 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 no. You missed it. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. You believe this? And I believe she got it, by the way. She said, I do believe. Jesus was teaching her a lesson that that is not just an event that's going to take place. That is something that He is right now. And the power of His resurrection, and understand, it canceled the power of sin You remember Peter was referred to this morning in Brother Robert's message. The devil wished to sift him as wheat, and the devil did. Peter found himself doing something he never thought he'd ever do, cursing the one he loved. He went out and he wept bitterly. He even went back to his old lifestyle and said, I'm just going fishing. He went back to his old ways. He took his clothes off, was standing there. Bible says, naked. But the Lord came to him. Said, son, I know what you did. I know what you did. But I still want you to come and dine with me. And when Peter accepted that the Lord still loved him, the Lord still wanted to fellowship with him, then the Lord said, now I got a job for you. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lamb. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, you can see Peter, here comes again. Do you love me? Lord, thou knowest all things. And that's the lesson Jesus wanted Peter to know. I do. I know you love me. I know what you did. I know how you feel. And I still love you. Still have a job for you. Get busy doing what I've called you to do. And he did. Peter went on to go. Because when the Lord resurrected, he changed everything. Thomas said, unless I am able to put my fingers in the nail prints, I will not believe. Suddenly Jesus appears, amen. He reaches out his hands and said, Thomas, I heard you want to put your fingers in the nail prints, right? That's Travis Burke's commentary. Thomas did not say much at all other than falling on his face. He said, my Lord, my God. The power of the resurrection. In Colossians, just a page over, in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 13, Colossians 2:13, we already read this once, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Understand, when he rose from the grave, all the power of sin and death was defeated. And God wants us to live in the power of the resurrection. So what does that mean? Overcome sin. Overcome temptation. Live a holy life. Do not throw your hands up tonight and say, well, it's just my destiny in life. You don't know my family. I have a rougher life. You don't understand what I go through. You don't understand the temptations I face. You don't understand my background. I don't, but God does. And God said, I have made you alive. Here is my power. Here is my authority. You can live a victorious life. And those who have already given up and aren't trying, you have no idea what it is to know him. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. I mean, know him. You know what that person looks at you and says? I feel so distant from God. I don't feel like God loves me, or God is with me, or God wants to do these things for me. When we give up on the power of the resurrection, when we give up on the victory that he's already done and accomplished for us, how do I know him? Through Christ's resurrection power. Secondly, how do I know him? Through Christ's rejected position. Again, in verse number 10, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his what? You know how we get to know God? Number one, living a victorious life. Everybody amen that. We get to know God by living a victorious life. Amen? Through the power of his resurrection. Second way God allows us to get to know him is through the fellowship of his sufferings. He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Sometimes God allows us to go through the same thing. Sorrow. Grief. hard times, difficulties. As was preached this morning, great storms. But Paul says, I've been through my share of storms. I've suffered a lot. And I'm glad, because I get to know him through the fellowship of his sufferings. None of us in this auditorium are sitting there lining up to go through storms and trials and suffering. But why does he allow it? That we might know him. Because in our times of our absolute weakness, in our times when we're in our deepest despair, in our times when we scratch our head and say, I don't understand, that's usually a time whenever we finally give up trying to figure it out. God says, now, let me teach you something. Let me help you. You pick up a hymn book, and about every other page, you read a song that was born out of someone going through a hard time. You flip through the book of Psalms, about every four psalms, it's written on behalf of the enemy, seemingly was prevailing. But the author turned to God. God showed himself in a great way. Sometimes God allows these things so that we might get to know him greater, so that we have nowhere else to go but him. We physically can't get out of the hospital or our bed, but we're made to stop, just pour our heart out to him. Sometimes the doctor says, worst case scenario, why me? God says, fellowship of sufferings. Sometimes our closest friends can betray us and turn away. Fellowship of his sufferings. Sometimes our own family can curse us, get mad at us. Fellowship of his sufferings. I don't know what suffering God has allowed in your life. Do your best not to get bitter. Do your best to pour your heart out to God. Say, God, I want to get to know you more through this. That's not easy. It's been a challenge for me. I'm sure it's a challenge for you. But the scripture says that I may know him. Power of his resurrection. Fellowship of his sufferings. We get to know him through Christ's resurrection power, through Christ's rejected position, and number three, and we're done. We get to know him through Christ's redemptive passion. It says in verse number 10, being made conformable unto his death. Conformable unto his death. Conformable means in the same way. I don't think it's God's will that, I don't think, most of us in this time in which we live right now, to be put to death for our faith. Not what that verse is speaking of. To be conformable to his death. Answer this simple question for me. Why did Christ die? Why does he want to save us? Because he loves us and wants to have this relationship with us. Why he died. But God commendeth his what? Love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How do I get to know him? Number one, I have to learn the power of the resurrection. I have God's righteousness. I can live a victorious life Number two, through the fellowship of his sufferings. And number three, through Christ's redemptive passion. Look at me and I'm done. When we learn to get a burden for people like he has, then you get to know him. When you love, can get to a point where you love the one who spits in your face, you're getting to know him. When you come to a point where you're willing to sacrifice everything to reach one more, you're coming to know him. When you're willing to set aside all of your goals and thoughts, things you've earned, so that you can reach one more, you're getting to know him. When you look over a busy people, the multitude walking and going about their life with no care about God, and all of a sudden you get a burden and you break down and you weep for him, you're getting to know him. When you look across the congregation and you see a church and people, you know there are some that are hurting and some the devil's trying to trip up. It keeps you up at night and you just burden for him. You're getting to know him. When you wake up in the middle of the night because you remember a prayer request that someone asked you to pray for Thursday night and you just call it out to God, getting to know him. When a name come across your heart and you stop what you're doing to spend some time praying for that person, you're getting to know him. When you begin to share a heart for people, you're getting to know him. In the typical church today, Christ's resurrection power sometimes hard to find. Victory over sin and addiction and problems, temptations being conquered, sometimes it's hard to find. People taking times of suffering and just growing from it and trusting God and not giving up, getting harder to find. A group of believers with such a burden for people, they're willing to give up everything to reach another one, praying and sobbing and crying out to God and sacrificing, it's getting harder to find. Which is why we need to get to know him. Because when those things are real in our life, then we begin to know him. God, help us to know him. Father, please take this moment of invitation.